session number 24691, Reel 1.
Mr. MacDonald, Reel 1. What is your date of birth, Mr. MacDonald?
29th of August, 1918.
And where were you born?
London.
County Durham?
London.
Oh, London, sorry, I thought it said
London. London. Not far from the Lambeth area, you know what I mean? Not far from the Oval Cricket Ground, all of that.
What did your father do for a living?
He was in the First World War. He was in the Merchant Navy. He was a... what do you call it? Just an ordinary...
And how many family did you have, or did he have?
Well, it was three of us boys. But he died when I was seven, something like that, anyway. And then there was the two lads. Well, my mother at that time used to work in Lyons' tea shop, you know what I mean? Well, she could work and keep us. So we were banged into a home, similar to the cottage homes here, you see? So at that time we were put into the home that's called the Cuckoo Schools at that time. It is now, I think, or was, Hannibal Lunatic Asylum. Beautiful grounds it was. Anyway, the thing about it was, you see, that, as I say, I was there until I was 14. As soon as you were 14, actually, the army. But just before I joined the army, about 1930, we suddenly got a visit from Charlie Chaplin, because Charlie Chaplin was an old school doing surveyors. And he gave the school a cinematograph with silent films and presented everybody in the school, girls and all we had, with an autograph envelope with a shun piece in it, see? So, and then from that day on, they got a bid to do it. And they changed the name of the school from Cuckoo School to Hannibal Residential School, you see? Anyway.
Before we go on to that, how old were you when you went into this school?
I'd only be about seven, I think, and my brother would be five and three, so I don't know the exact age of I was, but I know I was. I couldn't have been any older than, younger than seven.
What was the area like that you grew up in?
Well, I was brilliant. I mean, the street I lived in was called Montpelier Street. Now, my grandmother had a small confectionery shop. Now, next door to the confectionery shop was a pub, and the next door to that was a silent cinema. And just down the road was a big distillery, you see, with the... do you remember that they used to show the... not brandy... you saw a big doors, black doors sign. Well, it was a distillery for some wines or something like that, and just under the bridge, and then the railway bridge over the top. But, I mean, the area was brilliant. And when I went on leave, which was... I used to go with my grandfather, I used to go to the Oval, because he was a member of the Dunners, you see, he had tickets. But to be very honest with you, I didn't get on very well anymore, because I didn't like the idea of banging us into a home. But the annoying thing about it was, you see, that when I was 14, as I say, I was in the army, St. Patrick. And just before, I never went home on my leaves, you see. And when I came to 18, I had to go to Fenham Barracks, Newcastle, for my man's training. That's when I first met up with my brother-in-law. And what that was, you see, in them days, that is the place now, is the Tyne Tees television place. And it was a joint depot between the Fifth Northumberlands and the Durhams. And as the newcomers come in, I joined them, you see. Well, as you guys, Martin, all that stuff, I mean, I've been doing it all the time with the band and everything else, you see. All I wanted, even arms drill, I mean, they used to get us on kidneys, the men, you know, for arms drill. Soon they'd, oh, hey, man, this is the way you do it. Man. Copy them, see. Well, anyway, the thing about it was, you see, that we all fell in for this big parade this morning, and as I say, I played cricket from the time from the age of 16, because I was a natural, that's what I used to say, even though I was so small. Anyway, the thing about it was that the bloke that was in charge, I played cricket with, you see. So anyway, he's walking along the line, and he sees me. He says, "What are you doing here?" I says, "I'm eating now." I said, "Yeah, go on, do it." "Oh, it seems like yesterday." He said, the sergeant says, "Do you know him?" I said, "Oh, I don't know him. I've been playing cricket with him for a while." He said, "Oh, that didn't go down too well." Anyway,
just before we come to more of the army stories, what was life like for you as a child? Was it a tough life? Did you have a tough time?
Oh, no. We were treated very, very well. We all had the same uniforms, like naturally, you see. And on Sundays, I go to church twice a day. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, my mother visited a bit once a month, or something, I think. Anyway, but my grandmother used to give her plenty of sweets for the three of us from her shop, you know. But, I mean, she hardly ever bothered. But the thing about it was, you see, as I say, life itself in there... We had no quibble. Nobody was nasty to us or nothing. So.
And were you educated as well in the school?
Oh, aye, yes. And when we went into the army, we had to go to school every day for 2 or 3 hours every day. The army educational corps. See, and
was there much bullying in the school that you were in?
Oh no, none at all. Well, I can't remember any bullying, no. No, I can't remember.
Do you remember the names of any of the staff that were with you then?
To be honest, I can't. I can't even remember the teacher that taught us. I know for a definite fact he lost a leg in the First World War. And he was the one that used to take us. He was a professional cricketer or something like that before that. And he was the one that used to run the cricket and that.
And that's where you picked up your cricket?
He was really brilliant.
And you were well fed in the institution?
Yeah, no problems. Well, we had no problems whatsoever. We were well looked after, very well looked after. I've got no quibs of that. As regards the likes of the life I had in the school there. As I say.
And then at 14, what made you go into the army at 14?
No other option. I joined the army at... Whitehall, 1212. That's where I joined, you see.
What date was this that you joined?
The exact date of being here, I think. 20th of December, 1932.
And were you expected to go into the army when you left?
Well, there was nothing else, you see. In them days, there was nothing else. The girls went to service, and we went into the army, you see. But as I say,
and what unit did you move into?
No. What happened was in them days, you see, we'd see these bandmasters come around to all these records. They'd give us a shilling, but they were getting about 5 or more. But that wasn't the point. The point of it was, you see. And so somebody used to give them a list from these different schools of kids that would come up to 14. And then they used to come straight in and say, "How would you like to join my regiment?" And they give you silver. I mean, we've seen no money. And that was it, you see. And before you knew where you were in the bloody army. But the annoying thing about it was, you see, that only a matter of 2 or 3 weeks before that, I'd been playing on the Oval cricket ground, you see. We'd won in them days, there was quite a number of these schools around. The bands did, I remember them. And we used to have East versus West or something, on the Oval for the... One got the shield for the winner and the other got the bloody cup or something. Anyway, the thing about it was, you see, the grandmother at that time was a big fella called Bossy Martin, big fella. And he was looking around and he called me over and he called this lad out from the... to him. He said, "How would you like to come on the ground staff here?" So I'm trotting away and all of a sudden the bloke come over and says, "I'm sorry, you can't have him, he's in the army." "What?" He said he signed to join the army 2 weeks ago. He said, "Oh," I said, "my God." He said, "just as well, like, because I mean, the thing about it was, you see, that when I was 21, I still would have been calling up." But anyway, I finished up in Catterick.
You're 14 year old and you've signed on in the army. Did you sign on to a particular regiment from the very beginning? Did you go to a particular regiment?
No.
Or was it a general training?
No. To be honest, I don't know much about it. All I know is that I landed at Catterick and I was with the 1st Battalion of the LI. But how I got there, how it happened, I don't know. And I, anyway, when I
and
got...
You were a boy soldier?
I was only a boy. I was, at that time, I was supposed to have been the smallest boy in the British Army. I was only 4'5", you see. And we had an officer in there, look, Matt Mason, they called him. And he was about 6'7" or something, and they put the two of his lungs up. And, you know. Anyway, the thing about it was, you see, that I had the best Christmas I've had in years. People said, are you homesick? I said, how the hell can I be homesick? I said, I've never had a bloody home. Anyway, and they chucked me like the Lord over that Christmas. What happened in them days, you see, was, you see, that at times of the year, all those people went on holiday. I just left the scout and staff, you see. And oh, they were jamming all sorts into me. I took like a Lord I was.
When you first arrived at Catrick, do you recall the first day that you arrived and what happened? What happened to you then on that day?
I can't really remember that. But I know that I took in with a... At that time, we used to have a horse transport, you see. And I was in with them. And as I say, as soon as I got in, they made me more than welcome.
And, you were going as a band boy, was that right?
Yeah.
Did you know how to play a musical instrument?
No.
They were going to teach you that?
Or bugles. Because we had band and bugles, you see.
What uniform did they give a band boy?
Ordinary khaki, with the longer with a fold. You know, in them days you used to have a crease because of it, two or three below the knee, where you used to put the long putties on that. You used to go over the top of them. You see.
What was the process of putting a putty on? How did you put them on?
Well, you know, you put it on from the bottom as you round it right up. Something like the Indians who are putting them on today. No, but you had our certain doings in between the waist all the time, that way.
Oh, but were they easy to march with? I mean, you think they'd constrict your feet or your legs?
No, I can't remember them being anything like that. No.
And then they give you the khaki uniform?
Yeah.
And what was that?
Just only khaki uniform, like, you know.
The blouse and...
Yeah,
Ooh. Was it a First World War type uniform?
Just after that, yeah.
And did you get a medical when you went in?
I don't remember. I don't remember getting a medical. I must have done, but I don't remember. Anyway, yeah.
Were other boys joining at the same time?
Oh, no, I was the only one. I tell you, joined not long after me, officer, because we were in Mons Lines in Catterick. Paddy May, Brigadier May, he joined as a second lieutenant in charge of the signal section at the same time as I did. So he's more like a few months before me, I suppose. Paddy May.
Ultimately got the nickname of Crackers.
That's him. You see him in them rugby players there. That's why he's called Crackers, because when he was playing rugby, he was. In that case. Anyway.
What was the accommodation like that you were living in?
Oh, very good. Barracks like you'd see.
How many men to a room?
About 30, I think. See, we in the boys' service, you see, we had our own way called a big stove in the middle, but there was a special door cubicle in the bottom end where the Corporal Noble, they called him, was there in charge of us. And he had his own bunk in the corner.
And were there all young boys that were in your room?
Yeah, all of us.
And how did you get on with each other?
Oh, brilliantly. We never had any arguments at all. But as I say, naturally, they all had their own special mates, you know what I mean? I mean, as I say, Hawks was... I can't remember who he was. Because I never really knew him. I only said, big pattern that carry on. But most of my mates, I used to play football with because we used to have a boys' team, a cricket team, and all the same clique of us, you see. Well, he never played any sport like that, you see, so he wasn't, you know.
What time would be reveille on a morning for you?
6:30.
And what would you do then? What was the first task you had to do?
What we used to have to line up in a bloody queue, and we had a toothbrush, and we used to have to dab it in his toothpaste. As we went by, the cleaning thing, you said, stand there, watch you clean your teeth. Yes.
And then what, after you'd done that?
breakfast, I think.
Well, you'd obviously wash yourselves and put
Yeah.
Did you have to tidy your room up before you went to breakfast?
Your bed, yeah. And then...
And how did you keep the room, the rest of the room clean?
I think we used to take it in turns, I'm not sure, sweeping it and all that. I mean, the fire had to be cleaned out and everything like that. But I don't know if we had somebody in there to do that. And then we used to have to go on barn practice at 9 o'clock. No, school.
Well, you got your uniform, got washed, etc., and tidied your beds, and then you went to breakfast.
Yeah.
Did you march to breakfast?
I can't remember, to be honest.
What might you get to eat at breakfast?
I don't know, stuff, sausages, bacon, stuff like that. We had, I have no cribs about the way we were
fed. But you were well fed?
Oh, aye.
So when after breakfast, then what did you do?
School, 9 o'clock. We were in school for about 9 to 12, or 9 to 11, something like that.
What were they teaching you?
Well, if you notice today, I got my second and third class certificates of education. Oh, we got a good schooling. English history and everything like that.
And was this the education corps that...
Yeah, I'm the education corps, right, yeah.
And you were there, as you say, basically for the morning, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then you'd have lunch.
Yeah.
What kind of dinners did you get?
Ooh, I can't remember that far, but...
After dinner, what would you do?
Barn practice. That's supposed to be barn practice.
You had no musical experience, how did they select a particular instrument for you, or what did they give you?
What happened was, you see, you used to have to learn your lines and scales and all that, and you see. And then from that, they just laid on, you see. At first, I was on the cornet, you see. And then a few months later, they decided they were short of bugle boys, so I got banged in the bugles for a while. And then later on, I got banged on a French horn, which is similar in tunes to they call it that name. I finished up on that. I was never brilliant, I'll tell you that, because I was always out the window playing bloody cricket. I was always getting on for it. He's shut that window, MacDonald would be through that window.
And how hard was the training in the band when you first joined it?
Well, there was nobody nasty to you, not like that. I can't remember anyway. Anyway, you see, we hadn't been in Shanghai long when we lost our bandmaster.
Yeah, we'll come to Shanghai. We're jumping a long way ahead.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah. Do you remember who the bandmaster was?
Yeah, Rippon.
What rank does the bandmaster hold?
Just, I don't know. He'd be just under an RSM, I suppose, same rank as an RSM, I suppose. IQ.
Could you tell me how the band was constituted? You know, how many instruments and types of instruments and people that were in it?
We can show you that way, that's all. You know, I couldn't really tell you to be exact, because I was never really into it.
How long would it take for you to become proficient as a player of an instrument? How long was the training?
Yeah, it never took me long. I could never play it. I was never any good. I just used to do the oompa, oompa, that's as far as I got. Because, you see, I wasn't really interested in the band. You see, my thoughts was out there in the middle of the playing field. And I was always getting wrong for it. But anyway.
So after you've done your band training.
Yeah.
Was that all of the afternoon taken up?
Yeah.
Then you did you have a tea?
I can't remember what we did after that. I don't think I think we went to the YMCA. I think it was a YMCA farther down in Catholic at that time. And I think we used to be allowed in there. But I don't know what time we had to be back in barracks for.
Well, they're very protective of you, the army, you know, as boys, they look after you well.
Oh, yes, very well, yes. We were well protected, yes. Aye. We had our own goods well away from the men.
And there was the lookout for bullying of that nature from the older ones?
Well, the thing about it is, I say we had this corporal. he had his own bunk at the end of the tours. The sight of Saudi and he was out looking around to see what was going on. But there was never any animosity or nothing. I tell you, you may have met up with one of them. Did you ever meet up with a Thomason? You see what the sergeants do?
I know the name.
Big Thomason. He's in there, that door is there. He finished up as a major. Well, he was on boy service with me. And he played a big drum, but he got a bit sick and he joined a duty company, you see. Now, he's in there, in A company or B company, and he was a brilliant footballer. Now, he played for the battalion at football. And I've got a toys of him in there. I don't think you recognise his face, but...
What was the pay for a band boy?
Shilling a day. Three bob in the pocket, four bob in your pocket, three bob in the credit.
And did you have to pay things like barrack room damages?
Oh, aye. Yeah, and for on boot polish and blanco and things like that. And we had a special suit of fine hat we used to have to the first battalion. I don't know if you see, in them days, we had that ordinary doer's hat, you know, but then you... I think it cost about 4 and 11, right, for a super fine hat, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And did you have to buy that yourself?
Oh, aye, yeah. Oh, aye. Put soap and everything like that. You bought everything yourself. Toothpaste, you had your own toothpaste, wasn't it? It was always that powder stuff, you know what I mean? And he used to watch his WWs every morning, the toothpaste. Get some more on there. Yeah. But
they would be particularly careful, no doubt, that you didn't take intoxicating liquor too early, didn't
they? Oh, aye, no chance of that. No chance whatsoever. Not a camping, I can't remember going to Blackdown either. No.
If you had a complaint, could that be dealt with quite easily? Who did you go to?
Well, to be honest with you, our company commander at that time was Huey Vaux. You see? Now, whenever we got into anybody, it was just like talking to your dad. He used to come up here, what do you young boys been up to? You know, it's terrible. And he used to put you on a bloody corn cushion, crushing corns with them, bloody horses, with that petal dust up. Yeah, Captain's quite, because he used to be knackered when they come off that, crushing corn. Anyway. Well,
what kind of things did you get up to as young boys?
Oh, well, we used to, there used to be, by the YMCA, there used to be a big, small range, small arms place, you know, and we'd get over there playing hide and seek and all that over there. Got all sorts over there. But never any, you know, but I say our day was nearly always well occupied.
At night time, you've mentioned that you went to the YMCA. What other ways did you get your leisure time?
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember if anybody had a radio or what, to be honest. But I think we're in bed at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
And there was no bullying in the section?
No, none whatsoever. No. As I say, everybody was very close. And, as I say, Thomas, he was always a big lad, but never had any problem. He belonged down Birmingham, where.
They didn't give you any of these initiation ceremonies?
No, nothing like that. We got nothing like that.
At what point in time did you start, weapon training and drill?
18.
That's when you started your drill at 18?
Yeah. We got drills, we were always on RSM's parades, adjutant's parades. Every other Saturday was an RSM adjutant's parade, and we had like an ordinary ceremony, you know what I mean? Like they do with the troop. We had them nearly every Saturday morning, and we were always on them, the band. Don't worry, if you just held your bloody instrument or what. But that day, we were the fastest marching regiment in the British Army. We did 160 in them days. And in the war was declared, they banged us down 140. But people say, how the hell do you march and play that instrument at the same time? I said, no, I didn't play mine, mate. Anyway, but
so you've been in the band marching, but not necessarily playing your instrument.
Yeah, but I was supposed to have been.
Oh yes, you're supposed to.
If I could have played it, all of us were to. But as I say, you see, that's what I'm saying. Then when I went to Newcastle, naturally, I was proficient in all drills. You know, we used to teach it out the turn, left and right, and belt turn and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And there. So when I got there, the large company said, "You come out and demonstrate." Oh God! I thought to myself, "I don't know what he's got his stripe for." He used to call me out in the middle, and I used to have to show him that the turn on the march and top way the whole lift your bloody knees up and all that. You know? And but the thing about it was, you see, I'd only been there a couple of weeks when they got their first holidays leave weekends, and everyone was asking me would I go home with them. You see. It's I had no intention of going on from there. So anyway, I finished up. I went to the hall with one of his mates, with Ox mates. Anyway, he used to play the euphonium in this block. Anyway, very nice. And then I went to Darlington with another one. And then one day, my mate that finished as my brother-in-law, he says to me, "Hey, do us a favour, Matt." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I promised to take Arthur Edwards through to this weekend. But he can't come." My mum would be decided, "Will you come through with us?" So I said, "Sunderland." I knew they had a hell of a good football team at that time. That's all. I didn't know about Sunderland. But anyway, once I come through, I was there every bloody weekend after that. Because, we went through another night, we used to play doings for sweets and all that, you know what I mean?
Cards.
Yeah. For sweets and all that. You know. Well, anyway. And his sister, the one I married eventually, we were always fighting, we were anyway. But I always finished up giving her the sweets, that's what he used to say to me.
What was his name?
Porter. He finished as a minor diplomat in Cyprus. He died on the day that the Turks landed in Cyprus. He's supposed to have had thrombosis, but I think he was having a go, I'm sure of it, there and him. And he was a minor diplomat there, you see.
And people asked you to go on leave with them because you didn't have anywhere to go.
That's right. I used to spend all my leaves here. I went down to London about a couple of times. And now my grandmother died when I was down one day, you see. That I couldn't even get to her funeral. Because at that time we were prepared to go to Shanghai, you see. So anyway, I didn't even get to that.